Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us for the first time, very special guest. He is a candidate for the Office of Comptroller of New York City, Ismael Malave Perez Jr. He was an administrative procurement analyst for the Department of Citywide Administrative Services, known as DCAS. Ismael is a Democrat, a Democratic candidate for comptroller. Ismael Jr. Is a seasoned public servant with 27 years of experience in government, which includes 16 years of distinguished service working for and working under five controllers. At DCAS, he manages all of the city's auctions. Born in Puerto Rico, raised in the Bronx, Ismael holds an MBA from Baruch College, a Zicklin School of Business, and a bachelor's degree in economics from Lehman College. As a Democratic candidate for comptroller in New York City, if elected, he will make history as the first Latino comptroller of New York City. Ismael, welcome to Reaching Out.
Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm really honored to be here on your show, President Floyd. For me, my career as a public servant, I've always had a special affinity for working with labor and for working on behalf of labor. And I'm a proud union member of SEIU Local 300. And I hope to make the president, Jim Golden, proud that I'm being interviewed by you as well, a president of Local 237, and I'm honored to be here.
I know James Golden, Jimmy, very well. He's a great man, a good man, a good president. Before we begin, tell us what DCAS is, the Citywide Administrative Services, known as DCAS. Tell us what their agency is. I know what it is, but our audience doesn't.
Thank you so much for that. That's a wonderful question. I mean, DCAS, the Department of Citywide Administrative Services, is a phenomenal agency. It's the agency that services all agencies, whether mayoral or non-mayoral, and it provides a myriad of services for every agency, from employment services to, you know, budget monitoring, internal audit, as well as what we do from the operations, the logistics unit. I'm currently a procurement analyst in the Office of Contract Procurement, and I conduct all of the city's disposition of city property. So my role at DCAS is also amazing because we have a network of salvage offices throughout all of the city, and the touch point with services, administrative services, the trades, where we basically process the and hold up the city charter, Chapter 5, to coordinate the sale of assets. And so, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic. DCAS is like the city's muscle for the operations. DCAS does the fleet, it does a bunch. I mean, it's very complex. My unit is a wonderful little unit that makes money for the city. And I used to report to one of the deputy commissioners in asset management. It does all the leaseholds stuff and manages the leases for the city, and also takes care of our wonderful portfolio of beautiful, the most prestigious portfolio of publicly owned buildings, 55 buildings across the city of New York. And I'm honored to be a part of DCAS.
Now you mentioned something about leases. So would that include like vehicles and buildings and office space?
Correct. So DCAS plays a liaison role. That's not the unit that I work in right now, but there's a liaison role for the leasing unit where they administer the business side of the leases to meet agency needs. So if there's an agency that needs a space, leasing coordinates that for that entity, that not-for-profit or that entity that's providing services to taxpayers. And but the unit that I work in basically takes all of the property. For instance, we DOT needed to decommission the Staten Island Ferry, and so my unit sold the decommissioned Staten Island Ferry to Pete Davidson, the comedian, and I was behind the scenes on that, right? So we made money on behalf of the city. We also recently sold a subway car that was parked in front of Queensborough Hall, and that was put there by Claire Shulman. And the current borough president said it's an eyesore. We need to get rid of it. So we got rid of it. We made money. We sold it to some Brazilians that are going to utilize it as part of their museum. And so that's what we do. We also save the city money because in my unit, we transfer inventory from agency to agency. And that's what we are basically tasked with, is identifying the best alternative value to a piece of asset, whether it's chairs, tables, where we could transfer it into between agencies, or to prevent it from going to the landfill. We sell these items for sometimes pennies on the dollar, but it adds up. We make over between $1.5 to $3 million, and it goes into the general fund. It goes towards our pension dollars. It goes towards filling potholes, feeding children at schools. So any money we make goes into the general fund, and it's a very interesting dynamic. And like I said, it's Title 55, part of the city charter that we uphold in the Office of Surplus Activities, where I'm a procurement analyst, administrative procurement analyst. Prior to that, at DCAS, I also worked with the trades. I worked with the former deputy commissioner of asset management with Mr. Morales, where we managed all of the trades as far as and the properties inclusive. My role there was to implement a computerized maintenance management software, and it was an interesting and a massive project. It was slated for $9 million. We did it in it was slated for a 3-year timeline. We did it in under 20 months, and we saved the city millions of dollars because it came in at just a little bit above $2.5, $2.6 million. And so I think that was a dynamic, a wonderful learning experience for me, having worked with the trades to make sure that the system, it was about eliminating the paper time and allowing the administrative folks as well as the trades the ability to have more wrench time and to mitigate issues. So the platform, you log in and you report a problem, and on the platform you can manage your inventory and you can address certain issues. It's too hot in here, it's too cold, what's going on, we got to fix the door. And that's what the system called CMMS, the Citywide Computerized Maintenance Management Enterprise-wide system, is still being used today, by the way, and we saved millions of dollars for the city with this upgraded implementation.
DCAS has a strong commitment to equity and fairness in city hiring.
Yes.
I'd like to get your take on the current push to end diversity, equity, and inclusion, which what DEI is, but
Yes.
it's been made out to be a dirty word, but it's never dirty when you include a lot of people in the process.
I mean, look, the federal government, for whatever reason, they're trying to undo years of work where we've gotten this far. And when you think about affirmative action and diversity, equity, and inclusion, the law originally for affirmative action was written to protect Italians and others from racism, and to allow them to get their fair share of work, right? And the opportunities. As a candidate running for city controller, I will uphold the state policy, city policy, and state policy to make sure that diversity, equity, and inclusion are a part of the mandate for the office. So for instance, the Office of the Comptroller has a program called the Emerging Managers Program, which allows prepared professionals to manage a fair piece of their fair share of the pension systems. When I become the comptroller, that's going to be a program that I am going to definitely make sure never gets eliminated. In fact, I truly believe when I become the comptroller, it's this whole notion of the lack of The lack of access to capital is going to be a name, a phrase from the past. And so that's something that I think everyone should know. I stand in support of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
You have recently announced, you know, you did on this show that you're running for the office of controller. But what is your professional experience that makes you think you would qualify for this job?
Having worked for five controllers, I mean, in total, I've been 27 years as a public servant, like you said earlier in your introduction. But I worked for Carl McCall, Alan Hevesy, Tom DiNapoli, Bill Thompson, and John Liu. That's three state controllers and two city controllers. Aside from that, I am, although I was a former wrench man, I went to Brooklyn Automotive. So I like to roll my hands, my sleeves up, and be intricately involved in the day-to-day. Having worked for these five controllers as somebody who used to be in the room with them, part of the negotiations, a money manager for the John Liu administration, where I worked in the Bureau of Asset Management, in the real estate portfolio, I was assigned to become a senior investment analyst in a $10 billion fund, where I was responsible for monitoring, you know, performance analysis for 35 partnerships, value close to $2 billion. So I'm highly qualified. I have an economics degree from Lehman College. I have an MBA from CUNY's Harvard, the Zicklin School of Business at Baruch. And as I truly love New York City, I grew up in New York City. I've been throughout the entire city. I know the community, and I want to bat for our pension systems. I'm a product of the system. So here I am as somebody who is not only, you know, proof that our educational system works, that our governmental system works, but I am also part of the club, right? I'm a pensioner. And I wanna make sure that our pension system is solvent. I wanna make sure that our healthcare benefits are there for me when I retire and for others. I wanna make sure that our city's debt is well managed. It's like $95 billion of the city's debt. There's about $283 billion of the city's five pension systems. Of assets under management. And I want to be a part of someone that monitors the city's $115 billion budget to provide input to the mayor's office and the city council members and hold agencies accountable. I have done and been a part of investigatory audits. I've been audited myself. And so I am somebody that understands the power of the audit, and I want to utilize that to eliminate any waste, fraud, and corruption that exist across all of our agencies, whether they are mayoral or non-mayoral agencies. The city control is chartered under Chapter 5 in the city charter in Section 93, and the responsibility is to monitor how the city's economic and financial being is performing. And so as somebody who understands it, I truly believe that this is the role that I'm suited for in my career. And I'm 55 years old, and I want to be the controller for 8 years. I don't want to use that as a springboard. I think it's time to eliminate politics. I think someone once told me that the most qualified person isn't always the person that gets the job, right? And I know that I'm the most qualified, but I aim to take out the politics of it all. They have a lot of elected officials that want to run for the office. They don't understand it. They're using talking points. I think a lot of them have been watching my videos, actually, because they sound like me now all of a sudden. And it seems to be that there are front runners, but I want to let your listeners know that they should believe in the underdog. And I am that guy that, although I haven't raised a lot of money, because it takes money to run a campaign, when I make it to the ballot, I truly believe that New Yorkers are going to vote for me because I have a message, and the message is that I'm going to protect your taxpayer dollars. Ultimately, I'm going to remove the politics out of managing the unit, and I'm going to make sound investments and prudent investments with high ethical standards.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President Local 237, with us candidate for Office of New York City Controller, Ismael Malvé Perez, and we're here talking about his candidacy. What sets you apart from the other candidates?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, one, I am somebody that grew up here. I understand what it means to stretch a dollar. I was brought up by a single mom. I'm not from an affluent background. I am a homeowner, and I'm somebody that one day one understands how the office works. I don't need to learn, right? There's no learning curve here. And besides that, I'm a former wrench man. So I think I mentioned earlier, I went to Brooklyn Automotive. So as a young man, 14 years old, taking three trains just to get to high school and not quitting in the 80s, could you imagine? So if that doesn't say the kind of person that I am, the grit and the tenacity and everything that it takes, the resiliency to help people out, to go to school, to graduate and take care of my single mom who brought us up all by herself, I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm a family man. I have two children who I've helped put through school here in New York. But I know the numbers, and there's no. I have a great team. One of my advisors right now is a former first deputy comptroller. I also have an advisor who's a former deputy comptroller in procurement. I also have an advisor who used to be a CIO. I also have a dynamic team, and I believe in our labor force. I believe in the people that are there now, and I believe in the pensioners. I love New York, and I want to help improve the city's operations. As somebody who understands the intricacies of the city's operations and how the dynamics all come into play, can you imagine somebody that has a certificate as a certified building operator, a former mechanic, being responsible for the and somebody who's worked side by side by the trades and the administrative services units from across the city and the state, being side by side, standing with labor and standing with the dynamic city's workforce on all levels, right? From every agency, whether mayoral or non-mayoral, managing our finances. So if that doesn't say it for the listener, that I am somebody that beyond the city's workforce is going to look out for your taxpayer dollar to assure that our agencies are providing the services, the adequate services that were mandated on the dollars that are allocated to certain agencies. And if I identify any waste, fraud, or corruption, I'm the guy that's going to issue the subpoenas to make sure that we one, remove it and we redirect the those resources where they're supposed to go. And at the end of the day, that's for taxpayer dollars and services.
What do you see as the biggest financial challenge for New York City?
That's a great question. I mean, lately, there's a couple of things. One, we have to make sure the comptroller's mandated to work with the mayor's office in issuing our bonds. And there's a lot of complex dynamics that come into play when it comes to the bonds, right? The golden rule is not to allow anything to negatively affect our bond rating. And a lot of folks don't understand it. Right now, as it stands, our bonds are being utilized for social investments. So we have the City of Yes. It's the City of Yes is a affordable housing initiative and an infrastructure initiative where the governor has already set aside $1 billion. And then the city allocated about three about 800 and I think it's $840 million for a social obligation fund bond to towards the City of Yes. We've already spent or allocated close to another $1 billion in the previous budget. So who's gonna pay for it? That's one of the biggest financial issues that I see. There's like an outstanding balance of close to $390 billion to build affordable housing, and that's going to come out of the budget, right? That money needs to come from somewhere. And so the dynamics around creating the social bonds, socially responsible bonds and those obligation bonds for the infrastructure development projects, one of those dynamics is also supporting in any money that's allocated to any of these infrastructure projects the prevailing wage. prevailing wage for all administrative workers and prevailing wage for all trades workers across the board. Because we know that when monies are allocated to certain funding initiatives, when you know, entities try to violate that, as the comptroller, I promise that I will uphold the law and defend the prevailing wages for both, you know, 220, which is the construction and services trades, as well as the 230 for the building services. I'm that guy that understands those dynamics. But there are other areas where I am kind of concerned about. So one of the first agencies that I will go in to audit will be, you know, the Department of Homeless Services. They had emergency contracts issued to them. And, you know, we all heard that there were issues with some of these, you know, emergency shelter contracts. So we lost billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars, that we need to figure out what happened there and to try to prevent that from happening ever again. So as it comes, as it relates to the, you know, concern for what are some of the funding sources that we need to look at immediately, is to not allow ever again a blank check to any, you know, to whether it be to the mayor's office or any other unit of government, to allow a no bid contracts to come in and under emergency circumstances. You know, there needs to be some sort of oversight, even if it means, of course, you know, expediting things, you know, in earnest, you know, because of the fact that there's an emergency involved. But there needs to be some sort of oversight. And I kind of like, you know, don't understand why these comptrollers have already allowed on two or three instances during COVID, during certain emergency crises, like the immigration crises here that we had in New York, the migrant. They call it migrant, I call it immigration. Either way, it's an issue. And
I'm going to ask you, what would you do differently than the current comptroller? So that's one thing that you would do differently. You would audit.
Absolutely.
You would not give a blank check. You would not have these emergency powers just issued and going unchecked.
Correct.
Okay. What is your message to the working class voters in New York City?
Well, I have two decades of experience in fiscal oversight and operations. I'm an individual that tries to save every dollar. I've served as an individual tasked with going on the trucks, for instance. And so my message is that I'm not shy to roll up my sleeves and get and work with you, and I will be working on your behalf, on the behalf of everyday New Yorkers. I've been on the subway. I know what it means to take the train. I know what it means to stretch a dollar. I am somebody that believes and loves New York, and I'm highly prepared and qualified for this role. And so as somebody who also was tasked to serve as an expert witness in a lawsuit, I defend the city where needed, right? So the city was being sued and they were found liable. But because of my testimony as an expert witness, the city had zero of balance to pay out, even though we were held liable. And we would have lost $4 million had the jury sided with the plaintiff. But they sided with my expert opinion, and I saved the city $4 million. That's the kind of person that you will be electing, somebody who's going to look at these things and is going to basically look and read between the lines to try to see how I could help the taxpayer, how I could help working folks, how you need to realize how I used to wear a jumpsuit and crawl under a car, and my hands used to smell like gas and oil, and I'm a former wrench man, and I know what it means to work really, really hard, because I do it today, day in and day out. I've been known to jump on a high-low and move pallets and go right into a boardroom meeting with executives to explain what was happening on the operations side and where we are with our dollars. So I'm that guy that's willing to put on a vest and roll up my sleeves and work really, really hard and crunch the numbers to make sure that our dollars are saved and adequately distributed.
Yes. Listen, we're running out of time. I just want to thank you, Ismael Malve Perez, for coming on Reaching Out. And we wish you luck with your quest to become New York City comptroller and the first Latino comptroller elected in New York City. We wish you nothing but luck.
God bless.
I'm Gregory Floyd, President of Local 237. And you've been listening to Reaching Out. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.